The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
Brought to you by ETI School of Skilled Trades. Step up to the plate and start your career in welding or HVACR at ETI School of Skilled Trades. Visit eticampus.edu to learn more.
This is ESPN 1000, WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Now, back to more Waddle and Sylvie, live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio
on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Yeah. Just losing against this team, does it sting more because of the rivalry and you know how much Bears fans want to win this game?
Yeah. I mean, it hurts more in the locker room than the Bears fans. I mean, because at the end of the day, they're not putting in any work. I see the guys in the locker room every day. I see how much work they put in. So just coming out with a disappointing loss like this, it hurts. But, we just got to respond.
If that's the one that has Bears fans upset, that I get it. I mean, he's very mellow about it. We put in the work. Bears fans don't. Like, they're the ones performing. We're cheering their performance.
As you get older and more veteran, those are things that you won't even say.
Clunky. Yes. I don't think it's a shot.
There was something he said in preseason as well, wasn't there? Or in
the turning point?
No, there was something else I thought that Bears fans took a little bit personal earlier in training camp as well. Where, again, I think you described it perfectly. It's clunky. I mean, you're young. I mean, you're immature with regard to your football development, not your personality, because I think he's a very mature guy. But at the end of the day, like, he'll figure out that the last thing you want to do is say anything about the fans that has even a hint of negativity.
Yeah.
Because there's no benefit to it.
Like, the cleaner way to say it is, look, we're putting in all the work so the fans can benefit in the end. We want to win as much as any fan out there. You know,
or just don't even reference the fans.
I get it. We want to win too. Yeah. Like, yeah. You don't have to kiss the fans' ass, but I don't think he. Again, there are so many bigger fish to fry here in this than analyzing putting some of his quotes underneath the microscope.
Yeah. I'm with you. Like, there are bigger issues that I think I get it. You're never going to win, though, that if regardless of the scenario, if in fact you talk about the fans or reference the fans at anything that is remotely negative.
Can I hear that again?
You're not going to win.
He's got to, sometimes he mumbles, you know, and he's down after a loss. They didn't perform well. Give it to me again. I mean, play the soundbite again for me.
It hurts more in the locker room than the Bears fans. I mean, because at the end of the day, they're not putting in any work. I see the guys in the locker room every day. I see how much work they put in. So just coming out with a disappointing loss like this, it hurts. But, we just got to respond.
He's saying that it hurts us players more than it hurts the fans. Again,
a fan who is upset would say,
yes.
Look, I put in hours out of my day to watch these games.
It's an expensive ticket. I traveled.
Yeah, right. I put in lots of thousands of dollars year after year after year.
I would just say you're not. Look, again, I think you described it perfectly. It's clunky, and you would hope over the course of time that you're not going to win taking anything remotely close to that approach.
You want me to, let me give you a comp for the exact opposite reason, if that makes any sense. This is a 180 on the opposite side of this sort of press conference banter. When Mitch Trubisky said, or like there was a soundbite about how Mitch cleans the locker room. Do you remember this?
Yes.
And Cap was like making, look at Mitch. Mitch sweeps the shed. Mitch cleans the locker room, and I called and I pranked Cap, and I said, you know, Michael Jordan used to do the same thing. The point that I bring that up is it doesn't matter how cleanly Mitch was that he was cleaning up garbage if he couldn't play.
Right.
And with Justin Fields, none of this really matters if he could play. He needs to show that he could play. Playing will dictate all of this. I was talking to some of the Green Bay fans when they were ripping Rodgers. And I'm like, look, There are a lot of guys in Bears history who acted the same way as Aaron Rodgers, but the difference was they couldn't play.
Right.
I always say Cade McNown was the same guy as Jim McMahon. Do you know what the difference was?
Jim could play.
Yes. You know, Cade was an ass and Jim was colorful.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters. It doesn't matter one millisecond that Mitch cleaned the locker room. That was the dumbest thing that any talk show host could ever wrap their arms around. And it doesn't really matter what Field says at the end of a loss like this. If he doesn't improve, that's where we care.
You're just making it harder on yourself, I guess, is the point, as the quarterback of the team. You know, fans don't want to hear that. Is it an issue? I would say what's a bigger issue is that he seems to continue to make plays from the pocket that leave you more than a little bit skeptical.
Can you describe this one that I showed you? Robert Schmitz tweeted it out with the game. Is this the all 22 or because it has a couple different angles, but I don't think it's got all 11 players.
No, it must be. It must be. You showed it to me. I don't have it here, but obviously it was a third down because I remember at the end of the day, what he did was he checked down to David Montgomery and they stopped. It was like a 3rd and 7, a 3rd and 8. They got 5 yards and they got off the field. I think this was in the third quarter. At the snap, he drops back and you can tell it's like it's a cover one. There's a safety in the middle of the field. There's another safety to his right that's coming down as the play is happening because he's in coverage. Equanimeous St. Brown is on the right side of the field running a go route. He shakes free from his cornerback and gets by him by several yards in a short period of time, which should have been recognized by Justin. Justin actually looks to his left, then looks to his right, must not have either seen it or liked it, and then ultimately decides to dump it down in a check down to David Montgomery, and you end up with fourth down. Now, this is a play he has to see. If you look at the film, it's a play he has to see. Young quarterback, old quarterback, inexperienced quarterback, you know, very experienced quarterback. That's football 101. Safety in the middle of the field. Other safeties coming down in the box to get whoever's going to the flat. You've got one-on-one on the outside. If your wide receiver gets behind that, even if he's even, and you feel like there's an area to throw the football, that's a better option than the dump-off, I think, in this particular moment.
Yeah,
and then when you see St. Brown get behind the cornerback, pretty quickly you're like, that's a read that's got to be made.
And then the thing that makes me nervous and why I'm sitting
in,
the pocket was clean. Yeah. And the two plays so far this year that has me the most nervous about Fields, and I'll grant anyone who calls in and says, Sylvie, it's early. He was ruined last year. This is like his rookie year. He's got to develop. And I get it. And it's early in the season. But still, the two plays to me were I hit on this a lot last week. The near interception to Gibson last week before the big play where he had a clean pocket and he still made a terrible read and throw that was and then it was dropped. It should have been a pick six going the other way for the 49ers. Clean pocket, no one pressuring him into making a mistake or to hurrying up his timing. This one, the same thing. This pocket is perfect.
Pristine.
Everyone does their job. Montgomery's there. He's in to help as well. Didn't he chip?
Yes.
And then he goes out.
Equanimeous St. Brown does a fantastic job beating the corner.
All the time in the world. This isn't like rushing him into a mistake. It's there. It's perfect, and this is what's making me nervous.
Courtney Cronin, one of our fantastic teammates, sent this tweet out 26 minutes ago as well. Some things to contextualize while watching back Bears and Packers. Justin Fields has longest average time before pass in the NFL at 3.26 seconds. His off-target percentage, 30%, is the second highest in the NFL. Per Next Gen Stats, average separation on Fields' targets is 3.93 yards, fourth highest. So, look, these are numbers. These are things that I say, always say, use them. It's not the only tool in your toolbox, but you can use them in your evaluation. What she's telling you there is if you're questioning whether or not there's anybody getting open, if, in fact, his targets, the average separation on his targets is 3.93 yards, which is the fourth highest, I would say that there's evidence that guys are finding a way to get open, yeah, and he may not be finding them right now.
Let's sprint through some calls at 312-332-3776. The Bears are 1-1. They lose last night on Sunday Night Football. Tom, our buddy in Oaklawn, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tommy?
So, what's up, guys? So, I didn't see the game last week because we were too busy at Hollywood Studios and Disney. So, I just saw the score and some stuff on Twitter. But I felt kind of encouraged going into last night's game. But then now I'm starting to think, well, maybe the defense played well because Trey Lance sucks. Or, My little guy's St. Christina Junior Varsity team didn't have as many missed tackles as the Bears did last night. And, you were seeing it too, Waddle. Like, the one time when they did the play action, they rolled him out. He had plenty of time, and he overthrew Mooney. Even on the interception late in the game, he's throwing it to a place where then the cornerback can make a play on the ball instead of throwing it up and high, where then only his receiver can catch it, or it'll be incomplete. It's just, I'm with you, Sylvie, where I'm starting to get nervous, and this is starting to kind of look like Mitch 2.0, and I want to believe in Fields, but as of right now, I'm still very unsure about whether we even have the quarterback or not. So
I will say, and thanks for the call, Tom. Look, I know the play you're talking about. It was a boot, and it was basically a one-man or two-man route. And Mooney, sometimes the cornerback is going to – I mean, he gets paid as well. I mean, it was perfectly played by the Packer cornerback. My concern is more about how he functions inside the huddle and how he handles pockets. And like, look, you can go back again and look at all of the throws, and there haven't been many of them because I think they've only – what have they attempted? They've attempted 28 passes, I think, is all that they've attempted so far. And like I said, every team in the league has thrown more, including the four teams that have yet to play their second game tonight. Of all of the throws that have been completed, there have been zero tight window throws or completions as well. The closest to a tight window completion would probably, you could say, was the second touchdown pass in the game against the 49ers, but there's no defender on top of him. On a scale of 1 to 10, the degree of difficulty of that throw is probably a 5. The touchdown pass to Pettis is, 16 yards open. The wheel route that he threw to Pringle, there's nobody there. So reading the defense, processing things, making the correct decisions, and then throwing the tight window completion. The interception he threw against San Francisco, you can't throw it into four guys, but that's the example of a tight window throw. Hasn't completed one of those yet.
It's a great point. Let's go to Bob in LaGrange. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Bobby?
Yeah, I'm going to listen to you guys. The fans didn't like Dusty Baker. The fans didn't like Lovie Smith. The fans don't like Justin Fields because what he might say. They say what they want to say. They're real intelligent. Dusty Baker's got the best team in Major League Baseball in the American League. Lovie Smith is coach at Houston. Know why? Because they wanted him. He was 10-6. The Bears got rid of him. Oh, the fans don't like Lovie. Because he don't say what he want. They wanted to say at the press conference. Justin Fields had 11 passes thrown, and he do it because that's what the coach asked him to do. And I think he really scored, broke the plane. All this crap about the interception, everybody's dropping back. Now you're 3 scores down. What are you going to do? Run the ball? He has to throw.
Think anybody, we haven't even talked about it. The interception was not, it was inconsequential because we're at the end of the game.
Waddle was just talking about the interception
talking about
last
the interception,
week.
Yeah, against the 49ers.
But can I say one more thing?
Sure.
The Bears haven't had a quarterback in 29 years. Stop.
It's more than that.
Name me an all-pro quarterback.
No, you're right. And like Jim McMahon, briefly, and I think that's who you're alluding to. But again, like Jim McMahon was there for a couple of years, and then you couldn't count on him because he was always hurt.
To your point, too, Bob, I think both of us said, like, look, I'm not going to sweat what he said. You'll learn. All it does is, it brings unnecessary criticism to you. But at the end of the day, if that's his biggest sin, then we're all in a good spot.
We were doing this with Cuddy. All right. Yeah. You want another comp? We were doing it body language with Cuddy. What is Cuddy not looking at the iPad? What is Cuddy saying to Devin Hester there? What is Cuddy saying at the podium? Like, none of what mattered was whether he played well or not. Like, we've done this a lot with a lot of athletes. At the end of the day,
yes, that's how we're going to grade you. All my point was is you just make it a little harder on yourself when you take that route in any way, shape, or form.
We're at Joe in Lakeview. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Joe?
What's up, guys? Love the show. If you want to entertain yourself, listen to Cap's mini rant about Fields' comments earlier. I thought that was a little bit funny on my way to work.
What did he say? I missed that part. Can we bring that back, Miller?
He got real hot and bothered about Fields apparently taking shots at the fans. I mean, I agreed it was dumb to say, but not anything to get all that worked up.
Well, I would say, like, my point on it is again, it's you're not doing yourself any favors, but when I'm looking at what's transpiring, and I know we can do more than one thing at a time, I'm more concerned with his performance than I am his post-game comments.
No, me too. I had two quick points about his play that made me really, really worried. On that flea flicker he had where he hit St. Brown, I saw a clip last night. I don't remember where it was, but if you look, it looked like he had Moody open, yeah, maybe for a touchdown.
I've seen that too.
Completely missed that one. And then on the goal line stand, which I do think he got across, if you go back and watch that one, the A gap on the right side was wide open. Like he could have skipped through that one and not even been touched. That made me really worried that those two things he kind of missed.
I'm not really going to sweat him on the flea flicker pass. When you throw it to a wide open guy and the net result is 30 yards, I mean, you could tell me that Darnell Mooney's wide open. Okay, but you may be right. But when the play is a positive plus 30, I find it a hard time for me to get agitated.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, sure. John in Inverness, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, guys. Great show as always.
Thank you.
So, Tom, kind of like what you were saying, I have no expectations for this year. But it's interesting to watch the game, at least from my end of it, because with no expectations, you have a tendency to find out, at least I do, okay, what are they doing well? What are they doing bad? So forth. And I thought they made some good strides on the running game. Defense was defense. They, you know, they got some holes to plug. But, you know, so we kind of like you with Justin. How much time do you give this guy in order to make a decision of whether or not he's going to be good or not? And I think they said last night he's had, what, 12 starts? And we're looking, and same thing, the pocket presence, holding on to the ball too long, making that decision. I mean, at what point in time as an organization do you sit down and say, well, maybe this guy is not the person for the Bears?
I think you're going to get it sooner rather than later because it's a new regime and it's not their guy. And I think if they're bad this year and you don't see Justin improve, I don't know, but I think Ryan Poles would be quicker than, like, say, if it was still Ryan Pace here. You know what I mean, Waddle? Like, he's got you may never pick Ryan Poles higher than you pick this offseason coming up.
I mean, they're evaluating this all. They're not, like, they can sit here and tell you that Justin's our guy, and they may feel that way. But after 17 regular season games, if he doesn't prove to them he's their answer, they're going to draft somebody else. Okay. I mean, that's just reality.
Yeah, I'm just so tired of all the excuses at the end of the day. Yeah, we know they don't have the receivers yet. But I always thought if you had a good running game, that's supposed to make up for the time that if you don't have a good offensive line. And I'm just not seeing it.
I think there's also some evaluating that you can do Monday through Thursday, or what would it be, Wednesday through Friday, that helps in your evaluation process. Adam Johns has added some context, too, to the play with St. Brown. He said, okay, here's more context. St. Brown was supposed to run a curl, but he said he turned it into a go when he got past the defensive back. His arm up was a signal to Fields for the route change. It's something that's been discussed, but St. Brown said this was the first time it was in action. So that's Adam Johns providing a little perspective on the play that we were describing.
What does that do for you? What does that do?
A good quarterback still sees the arm up and throws it. I mean, I get it. That may be why there was some indecision. But once there is space created and the receiver did what you're supposed to do, I don't know how they do things. Maybe that's a standard inside their offensive meeting rooms. Look, if we've got a curl, we got a comeback. But for whatever reason, you quickly get past someone, throw your hand up. That's got to be communication between the quarterback and the receiver. It still looks like a play could have been made.
Yeah. Let's go to Jimmy on the north side, our buddy. What's up, Jimmy?
Fellas, how are we? Hope the family's good.
You too. Hey, Jimmy. How's the baby?
You know, humans adapt, Sylvie. Humans adapt.
Sounds anyway, like he pooped on you. Did he poop on you, Jimmy?
Oh, come on, yeah. I got poop going running around my house like you wouldn't believe. including on the TV with our quarterback.
Oh boy. Good segue.
No. You know, I'm fair here. Listen, guys, you know, I want to address, like, Bears game yesterday. Like, if you're a fan who's upset about the, you know, the outcome, what did you expect? We've done nothing to – our wide receivers stink, okay? And I just want to say, like, you know, I'm worried about Justin Fields because of two reasons. Number one, he hasn't improved. His instincts are – here's an example. Dylan Cease throws a fastball and a slider. If the hitter told him he wants to hit his changeup, and they hit his changeup all the time, then why wouldn't you just throw a fastball and a slider? And I'm talking about the run and the rollout. So there's no strategy with that. And he is also at fault for that because he doesn't have the instincts to get out of the pocket fast. If the defense is trying to collapse the pocket, why are you not getting out of the pocket right away? And then he goes 2.5 yards over the line of scrimmage. I was like, whoa.
If that was
Mitch, we'd be killing
If it's
Mitch.
Like a half a yard, you're like, okay, it's a tough play. Like that much. Like Big Cat even joked about it. He tweeted, I saw last night.
Great strategy.
He was like, look, they weren't expecting it. Great strategy by Justin.
You know what, Jimmy, to your point as well, is you saw on a couple of plays, at least one, and thanks for the call. Good luck with the little one. Teams are going to game plan for the boot. Did you see the play where, I mean, you were in the stadium, and I'm telling you, in the stadium, it's great, but you just can't kind of comprehend what's going on the way you can from your coach.
Tonight. Yeah. I do.
But they read it perfectly, and it ended up being like a 12-yard loss. Like, teams, when you can't threaten them from the pocket, they're going to take away what you can do and force you to play football. That's just the way it's going to be going forward.
Here's a tweet I got. Bears fans already want to get rid of Justin Fields after crowning him last week, and I knew the Catman would be mad about him taking a shot at the fans. Simple-minded people get mad at simple things, so predictable. Maybe Chicago doesn't deserve a quarterback. No, Chicago deserve a quarterback.
You deserve a quarterback.
It's just people are frustrated and they want it quick because we've watched one after another fail.
Well,
and no one should jump to any conclusions decisively on Fields yet. All I'm saying is I'm nervous.
The problems that you saw that existed the QB position last night, they were on display the first week of the season as well. They were just deodorized by him getting on the outside and making plays. The one was a broken play. The other one was a fantastic play where a ton of guys were open. And the 49ers, they disintegrated. But like they were still, as you just described, the one that should have been an interception that wasn't an interception. And then the first throw was troublesome as well. So some of the things that got you irritated about last night were on display in the first game as well. These things are all going to have to be cleaned up.
Right. Like, if the Bears receiver aren't good, maybe that's the thing. I don't know that, though. Darnell Mooney's pretty good. He's got 5 yards, right?
5 yards.
The tight end doesn't have one catch.
No, like, five or four.
It shouldn't be like that. Four yards. It shouldn't be like that. And, like, those plays where you do finally get the perfect pocket with a wide-open receiver.
Got to hit him.
Those, no matter who they are or if they're any good or not, it worked perfectly, like it's drawn up, or at least like it's ad-libbed in that case where he's putting his... You've got to hit those. We said it about Mitch. Well, we said it about Cuddy. We're going to say it about Justin.
Real quick as well. This is where I think that there's a delicate balance for the coaching staff. First time this group has done what they're doing right now. I get it. You want to win all these games, and I'm not telling you not to try to win these games. But at the end of the day, if we go 8 weeks... and Justin is throwing 14 passes per game through 8 weeks, I don't think you can accurately decide who he is. And you need to decide who he is over the course of the entire season. At some point, you got to run your offense, even with the blemishes that you have. And you got to work through these things.
Right.
You can't handhold a group of professionals for 17 games.
I want to take more of your calls. We're going to all calls today, 312-332-3776. Also, Waddle's got a recap of some of the big games. There were comebacks. What a day.
Ooh.
in the National Football League. So ring it up, 312-332-3776 on the Tom Waddle Show.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports things. We get robots in here. So many activities.
Let's find out together.
Step class. Making my head spin. How many activities we can do.
As we enter.
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
Yeah. Waddle's World is brought to you by our great friends and partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. Before we get back to all the calls, and we will, just kind of a little, as you mentioned, quick update on some of the big stories from the NFL yesterday. Just in general terms, I know I'm a football fan first and foremost, but I love all sports. I just don't think you can ever find some of the drama in other sports that you find on a given NFL Sunday. Now, some of it was self-inflicted, disastrous moves by certain teams. Other moments were just the result of great athletes making great plays.
Yeah, I don't care. It's just exciting.
But it's just, it was incredible.
There are a lot of mediocre teams so far.
No question.
We got to let the season play out. But as of now, there's a lot of that middle mediocrity.
Which is fine because if my Bears can join that group, I'm cool with it. But you've got to show me that you can do something more than just gain 210 yards per game.
Right.
That's what I need. Be mediocre, but that's not even mediocre.
Yeah.
I know you were up at Lambeau for the game, so you probably missed a lot of what happened or transpired yesterday. Mike Evans has, in fact, been suspended for this upcoming game against the Packers, the Week 3 game against the Packers. Sources told ESPN that Evans plans to appeal his suspension for violating unnecessary roughness and unsportsmanlike conduct rules. If you didn't see it, you probably have seen the video.
I heard it when it happened. I was listening on radio. It was a selfish play. I'll have more on that in the good, the bad, the dirty. But to me, there's no way he should be suspended. That's not a suspendable offense.
He's the only one that's being suspended. This marked the second time, though, since 2017 that he has been suspended for a game for leveling Lattimore. I believe the reason why they gave him a suspension and nobody else is because he's a repeat
offender.
It's not
like it was a punch. It was a push, wasn't it? And he got kicked out. That was the penalty.
They're obviously trying to send a message, whatever that message may be. It's a completely selfish move. I mean, but at this point, if they set the precedent, stop doing that crap. It's like the penalty they called on Vildor. Is it a bad penalty? Yeah, we can have that discussion whether or not it's the right penalty. It was called correctly. It says in the penalty, whether you make contact or not, you're going to get flagged.
That is the dumbest rule.
Could be. But the rule is the rule, so don't do it. So now we have found out that if you're Mike Evans or you're somebody like Mike Evans who's got a little bit of a track record with being disciplined by the league, just make sure because they're going to try and make an example out of it. Be smart.
It's because it's Lattimore, too, who he is particularly frustrated with because Lattimore actually shuts Evans down every time they play.
Yeah, it's selfish. Look, be frustrated. It's an emotional sport. You are a pro. You know your team is already injured. You know you have 3 points. You know it's a tight game. Like, don't do something like that. But I didn't think it was a suspendable offense.
Jadeveon Clowney is going to miss the Steelers game with a bad ankle. I don't know if you saw. You did not see any. I watched the entire Patriots-Steelers game. You want to talk about a taffy pull?
Yeah.
I just advertised the drama that exists in the NFL. This wasn't part of it.
I'm not gambling well, but I will say this. So I'm not, like, ripping you as someone who gets this, but you fall for these lines. Remember Friday you were talking about? You're like, something seems wrong with this line. Like, how could Pittsburgh only be a 2.5-point home favorite, right?
Yeah.
And, like, they know.
No, they were an underdog.
They know, though.
Yeah.
I
know. I at the end of the day, I had this massive parlay, and I included the Patriots on the money line. It ended up losing. But my point was when I first looked at the lines coming out, I was like, wait a second. The Steelers are an underdog at home? But you're right. They know what they're doing with these lines.
Yes.
There's no question. It was just a hideous display of offensive football.
Except for Baltimore and Miami.
I just mean the Patriots-Steelers game. That one is. And I would say, you know, not to get into an in-depth conversation about Mitch. I think we all like Mitch as a guy. This is Mitch.
Mitch is a backup.
Mitch can manage some things. Mitch is going to dump the ball off. But when you need your offense to be led by your quarterback and he needs to be the reason why, you become explosive. He just hasn't proven to be able to do that.
I always said, like Mike Lennon, it's going to be after four games.
Yeah.
We're getting close.
Well, they play Thursday night in Cleveland. I'm not so sure if it wasn't a short week, they wouldn't make the change.
Or maybe the longer week, if he looks bad Thursday.
Correct.
That they, week four, they get him ready after 10 days.
Yes. Because Mike Tomlin's not going to hang around for that.
No.
Now, they're very fortunate they're 1-1. If not for a missed extra point by the Bengals and then a missed short field goal in overtime, they're 0-2.
The Bengals?
Well, they can't protect it. That's going to be my bad. Their protection for their quarterback? Hideous. By the way, Trey Lance will be out for the season. Don't know if you saw this hit, but sadly, his foot looked like it was pointing in a different direction as well. I believe he was having surgery today. 49ers go on to win that game 27-7. Jimmy Garoppolo comes in. Now, again, I said this from the beginning. I don't think there was any maliciousness attached to any of it. I did say you could tell it felt like there was some relief when Jimmy came into the huddle, or at least there were some people in there that kind of felt like, all right, now we go. And they will go. Yeah, I think it'll be very interesting to see what happens. Tua sets career highs with 469 passing yards and 6 touchdowns in a comeback win over the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore.
I thought they were dead, and I thought the story was going to be the exact opposite. Tua can't do this, and it's a look at the difference between what Lamar Jackson does and what Tua does, and then he sure turned that on a dime.
Cardinals rallied from a 20-point deficit to defeat the Raiders in overtime.
The Raiders are struggling.
Oof, that was a bad
loss. Devontae Adams had 2 catches?
Yes.
Were they trying to feed everyone else after he got all the looks in game one?
No, I think Arizona smartly, because Adams scored early in the game.
Yeah, they tried to take him out.
And they basically bracketed him and made the Raiders beat him elsewhere. And they
couldn't.
The Raiders were the Raiders.
They stopped scoring once Devontae Adams was taken away.
And by the way, the Jets scored 2 touchdowns in the final 82 seconds to beat the Browns in Cleveland.
Right. Jet Central 10 to noon right here on ESPN 1000.
Wow.
Congrats. So, Greeny. You think I heard one congratulations message from Wilbon or Greeny this weekend? You think my Northwestern
friends... Well, you get dinner,
friends,
don't you? Greeny, we got to buy you
for
dinner.
For the group.
Oh, really?
You think that any of the guys who are friends with us, like Greeny and Wilbon, Wilbon, how about this? Said to me when I told him I was going to the Northwestern game a week ago when he was here in studio, said, why don't you go to a better game? I said,
wow.
Wilbon, I went to Southern.
Yeah.
How do you like that now, Wilbon? Better game. You think I got one congratulations text from them? How about a congratulatory text from my Salukis? Nothing. Crickets.
Did any Northwestern alum send you a congrats?
You know who did? Corey Wooten.
Okay.
Corey Wooten was very
classy.
Very nice on Twitter today. I told him it was my... It was my Minnesota Favre moment.
I was going to say, then he went down to Mississippi and tackled Favre again.
Yeah, that was... He's tackleable these days? Is that
he tackled himself.
Yeah, he does.
I think he tackled himself. All right, we go back to the calls?
You want to take it? Yeah. Jason on the south side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jason?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Long-time
listener. Whoop. First-time caller.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
So I wanted to ask you all, I mean, you've already said that you didn't really feel like it should be a lot to talk about with the Fields comments after the game, and I agree with you. So a couple of questions for you all is, first, do you feel, I mean, you mentioned the number of passes that Fields, even attempts that he had, so do you feel like they're putting him in the correct position to truly demonstrate what he can do, thinking about the goal line and shotgun? And then the second question for you is, I guess, more to Waddle. In those type of situations, right after the game, you're going against your top rival. Is it fair to truly, you know, put a microscope on everything that somebody says considering, you know, these are professionals, they're highly competitive, and they just may say something they don't really mean. So I just wanted to get you all thoughts.
Well, this is not high school, it's not college. So the first thing I would address your question about Fields, look, what are they paying him this year? $5 or $6 million a year? This is part of the job description. Like, it's not just playing on Sundays. It's also all of the other things that are all encompassing. The reason why you are where you are is first and foremost because you're ridiculously talented and you can do stuff that only 1/100 of 1% in the world can do. Okay? But also there is a craving, there's an appetite for this product. And part of that appetite, the fans, the presentation of all of this, the press conferences, that's just part of it. So whether it's fair or not, this is part of the deal. It's a big reason why these guys are able to make as much money as they do. The downside is the mistakes you make, and when you're not at your best, the whole world sees it. The upside is you know, you're paid handsomely for being a great athlete.
Right.
So this is just part of the job description. In terms of whether or not the coaching staff is putting him in the right position, I would say you're getting a little bit of insight into how they feel about things right now. I don't think that there's a lot of trust at the moment. I think, yeah, they feel they're a better running team than anything. Whether it's they don't trust their offensive line to protect, they don't think that their receivers collectively are getting enough, you know, they're creating enough separation, or the quarterback isn't comfortable enough in the pocket. I think that it's all the above, and hence the reason why you've seen maybe the least aggressive offense through 2 weeks that I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
Now, again, the last thing I would say about this is, and I've said this a bunch today, at some point, you got to take the training wheels off, you got to pump the tires up, and you got to stop hand-holding everybody because you've got to do some evaluating this year. I'm not talking about the record. I'm talking about evaluating what you have going for the future. And you can't make necessary evaluations when you're asking your quarterback and your entire offense to throw it 14 times per game.
Right, right. There's some good tweets coming in on that topic. Here's one from Jim that says, this kid has the entire season to prove he should be a starting quarterback.
Yes.
He's not a polls guy.
No.
This is how the league works.
Yep.
Blank or get off the pot. Just prove that you can be a GD starter going forward, the lowest of the ceilings. And he goes on to say, I don't care if this team wins another bleeping game this year. If Fields starts to put things together and develops, it's a successful season. It's what you're saying.
It's what I've said all along. And people get pissed off and they want to fight. Like, what do you mean this team isn't talented and they're not going to win X number of games? I don't care. Like, honestly, I may be the only guy on the planet that doesn't care what their record is at the end of the season this year. Because to me, this is about development, and particularly the development of your quarterback. You've got to make a decision about him. And it's way too early to jump to any conclusions.
This season,
but
right.
By the end of this season, like, we got to know.
You got to know. Because and then the front office has to know.
Of course. They're evaluating everybody.
Sure. All right. I met somebody up in Green Bay who shaped Waddle's
future?
Playing career. Yeah, I guess it's not future because it was the high school Waddle's future.
Yeah.
I met someone who played a huge role in Waddle's
life.
Looked
like he had green hair, too.
We could talk about that.
Did he?
312-332-3776. That story coming up next. Guys, as temperatures fall outside, do not wait. Get a free furnace with a buy one, get one free with ABC Plumbing, Sewer, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Get a free furnace when you purchase a qualifying AC unit this fall through ABC. Financing available with budget-friendly payments as low as just $57 a month. ABC provides no cost, no obligation, in-home consultations to help create the perfect system designed to meet your needs. Or extend the life of your existing furnace with an ultimate furnace tune-up for just $29. I'm getting those next week. ABC has been serving Chicagoland area for over 70 years. You can trust them. You can count on them. So visit 4abc.com. That's the number 4abc.com today. ABC delivers a 5-star experience from the time you schedule your appointment all the way through when their technician finishes the job. ABC makes it easy and convenient to fit your schedule. They've got evening and weekend availability. Technicians arrive in fully stocked trucks, ready to take care of any issue that same day. For all your service and installation needs, trust ABC Plumbing, Sewer, Heating, Cooling, and Electric, and consider it done.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87, ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
I just did one ticket to Lambo.
Yeah?
Not two to Paradise, one to Lambo. But it was, I'm telling you, it's easy to rip
them. It's Paradise.
Oh, I know.
In some ways.
I told my buddy who's a season ticket holder for the Packers, I wanted on the computer to print up a bunch of the fake stock certificates and sell them on the street, like at a discounted price. Like, could I get, hey, Packers stock on sale for $10. Game day special. Do you think people would have purchased? Like, I could have dialed it up right on one of those nice printers.
You may have caught somebody who was intoxicated, and because it was late. I mean, it was a night game that would have taken you up on it. But I know you were thrilled to be there. My guess is you were even more thrilled to actually come back home today.
Yeah, you're always thrilled to come back home. I saw at the Tundra Trio, this is a place like they did with Wrigley, where they purchased the rooftops. A lot of the houses, Tirico told you about this on Friday.
Really cool.
They purchased the houses that people used to live in on the perimeter of the stadium and turned them into, like, places to entertain. And our company owns the Tundra Trio, and it's a tailgate setup with backyards, fire pits, bars. It's beautiful. And at ours, WTMJ and ESPN Milwaukee were doing their pregame show. And it was alumni week, just like it was for the Bears Bears home opener.
Yeah.
So Andre Rison, remember, a cup of coffee with the Packers.
Sure.
I think, was he on the Super Bowl team?
Yeah.
So Rison was there. And if you've listened to this show before, Waddle always tells the story that...
Well, when I went to visit Michigan State, George Perlis, when I had my meeting with the coach, basically told me that they had one more scholarship to give to a wide receiver, and they had narrowed it down to me and a local kid named Andre Rison. We'll stay in touch. And obviously, you know, that was the end of my correspondence with Michigan State. They obviously went with Andre Rison.
So I took a picture with him.
I saw
he was told
good.
Him the entire story.
Yeah.
And he loved it.
Did he?
Loved it. He goes, oh, yeah, Tom Waddle. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh,
but,
yeah.
And it shaped your world because then you went to BC and all the connections you have now. That's where you met your wife.
Yeah.
Think about, like, if you would have gone to Michigan State, how different your life would have been.
No doubt. Every decision you make has a corresponding kind of result. So
the butterfly effect, right? Isn't
that
what
it's called?
Yeah.
Andre Rison, 84 career touchdowns in the NFL. He was good.
He was outstanding.
Are you making an 84 versus 9 comparison? Is that what you're doing?
Maybe. 5-time Pro Bowler, Andre Rison. Although he also only won one Super Bowl like Waddle.
Right. But Waddle, zero houses burnt down.
Ouch.
That's a
that's
win.
True.
That's a win.
Yeah.
I think that's a win for Waddle.
I would say so. Listen, I'm not going to get into a comparison contest with Andre Rison on any front.
All right. When we come back, I want to play you something from the NFL Network where one man is demanding that we never see the Bears and Packers play again in primetime. Wait till you hear this next.